Hey everyone, Gio here again. Just wanted to share on this episode about being in Peru and sitting with Huachuma, also known as San Pedro, and going to Machu Picchu. And it's been an incredible couple days, and I really, really highly recommend traveling to Peru to experience these things and many others. It's an amazing place to be. It's quite inexpensive compared to some other places, and the nature is just incredible. So, you know, I didn't really know much about what we were going to do on this trip and how it was going to unfold, so I just surrendered when I got here to everything that was planned and just staying open to possibility. And we there was a group that was put together by a good friend of mine, JJ, who's also a breathwork facilitator as well, Elemental Rhythm. And, you know, when he first invited me to come here, there's like literally a 1% chance, but it's just keep your mind open. It's already done. You're coming. And he always says these fancy poetic things. And, you know, here we are. And so we traveled to Agua Caliente, which is this little town, little streets winding around rivers, going up the mountain, that lead you down into the valley or up into Machu Picchu. And day one, we did our first Huachuma ceremony. And so we walked down into the valley. It's probably about a 30-40 minute walk to our first spot, which is a little field by the river, where we sat down in circle, and Huachan, our Huachumero, I guess they call it, he part of the lineage of the cactus San Pedro. And it's a beautiful heart-opening experience. Some people compare it to MDMA. I would say it's quite different, maybe some similarities. And they boil it down, you know, anywhere from 8 to 24 hours. This one was kind of like almost like a jelly or like a smoothie consistency. It's quite thick. Didn't taste as bad as any of the other Huachumas I've tried. I've done it a couple times in Canada, just out in nature. And so I had some expectations. Actually, the first few times, or the last couple of times I did it, I ended up with a massive headache. And a friend of mine, Saad, mentioned to have a lot of magnesium. And so I looked up nuts that are high in foods that are high in magnesium. And just so happened, everywhere I go, there's Brazil nuts and almonds. So if you're looking for a natural source of magnesium, Brazil nuts or almonds are a good way to go. So anyways, yeah, and he was just a wealth of knowledge, just teaching us about a lot of the traditions and, I guess, the upper world and the middle world and the sky people and a lot of the intentions that go into it and connecting with the sun and nature. And it was just beautiful to hear him speak and to really absorb the teachings. And even when the Spanish came, the Incas shared the Huachuma with them, and they said they looked up to the sky and saw Saint Peter, who holds the key to heaven, I guess, in the Christianity, and that's where the name San Pedro came from. And so that's why you may hear it called, referred to as San Pedro. So the night before having this journey, I actually had a dream of my grandfather. And my grandfather was a pretty incredible guy. I guess I'll talk more about that later. But in the dream, it was him. I was talking to him about building a house and doing work and building. And he's like, you know, I was like, I'll build it for you. I'll build it for you. And he's like, no, let's build it together. And it was kind of a weird dream, to be honest. And I've been having a lot of dreams here. So anyways, I'll come back to that later. But it really stood out. And I wasn't sure why. And then we walked down this train track for about an hour after the opening ceremony, where, you know, they blessed the medicine. We all drank a cup. We also each had a drum each, which was really cool. We brought some drums that we carried with us for the day, these hand drums, almost like a buffalo type drum. Opening ceremony, we danced a bit, drummed, got ready, and we kept walking. And it was a very slow medicine. It creeps on you, you know, and this is similar every single time, where at first you're not even sure if you're feeling anything. Then you start getting hit by some nausea, and, you know, a few guys purged on the way down, and then it's kind of like, oh, I don't know if I can do this more, and blah blah blah, all these stories in your head, as it's really building the relationship with you, that what Chuma is starting to engage with your body, starting to clear out some energies or whatever. And then we get to this little spot where we're going to go into the jungle off the train track, and it's this little gated preserved area where they would grow all these incredible plants, and the plants' names are on it. And you can check out a link on my Instagram of that video of some of the experience there. There's a reel on there. And, you know, I start walking and trying to take videos and getting a little more nauseous and just wanting to capture the moment as the medicine's coming on. And about halfway up the trail, there's this little hut made out of wood with a straw roof, and it's a little ceremonial, I guess, temple, what they called it. And so we all get in, and there's a little concrete bench that wraps around the whole thing. And they made a little candle and offering altar in the middle. And so we all sat down, and Wachan said a little prayer. And they had, you know, three or four flutes. They played some music, and you're slowly just drifting away into this deeper space of Wachuma. And so at that point, we all drink a second glass, and the drumming begins. And the drumming was amazing. It just got so intense. And you know, he was leading, and the medicine family was playing the flutes, like three or four flutes, and everyone starts drumming and a little bit of singing and chanting. And really, you know, like, drumming's been used for thousands of years as a way to reach altered states of consciousness. As the tempo would increase, and we'd all be rattling and drumming and singing. This probably went on for about, I don't know, maybe like 20 minutes. And then we had a share, and there's some beautiful, beautiful shares by some of the brothers. And when it came to me, you know, the insight that came to me was very clear, that each time I went to go grab my phone earlier, and I was getting nauseous, I don't know if it's because I was looking at the phone, and when I was walking, I just sat with the San Pedro, because I felt like in ayahuasca also, when I felt nausea coming on, is the medicine trying to speak to me or trying to show me something, because I felt uncomfortable and I wasn't bringing my awareness to it. And what it said was, you know, the best thing you can share is not a picture or video. You know, it's to embody nature and bring that back with you everywhere you go. And, you know, the energies that came through is that nature is powerful. You know, nature is patient, and nature is abundant. And embody that around your family, and work with nature, not against nature. And allow your family to realize that they are part of nature. And to, you know, not have the kids on so much screens, and try to find that balance. So it was just a really beautiful insight. And after sharing that, you know, everyone finished their round of shares. And we walk outside back into nature. And at this point, I'm fully in the Wachuma. I feel like I'm on a different planet altogether. The flowers are singing. The birds are chirping. There's butterflies, the sound of the river, the mountains above, the sun coming through, the clouds rolling. And I just felt like one with nature. There was no separation. Heart was gleaming, glistening, shining, I don't even know what to call it. And we ended up walking up a little further, finding this little spot by the river where we sat down to make an offering. And Wachan was working on it for a little while. We all went for a swim in the icy, well, not icy, but nice refreshing mountain water. I forgot my bathing suit, so I just found a little private area where I went in naked and was just standing in nature completely naked in the river. And just feeling so connected, just to think of, you know, at one time there's probably Incas here doing the exact same thing and honoring nature and honoring themselves as part of that. So we came back, and the offering prayer was we had a little circle, and they finished the prayer. And I thought it was over at that point. And we continued to walk. And I thought, you know, this has been going on for like 5-6 hours already. I thought we were done and we're going to start heading back. But we started walking further up the mountain, and we come to this incredibly beautiful waterfall that was just shooting out the side of the mountain. And also that's part of on my Instagram, if you want to check that out as well. And we did this water ceremony where we were drumming and praying to the water and chanting. And oh my God, it was, and the medicine, you're just so connected. You just feel that gratitude for water and for the earth. And at one point, you know, we would put our hands up to the sky to thank the sun, hold our hands out to the waterfall to thank the water, and holding ourselves down to the ground. And he's like, you know, give thanks to the earth. And, you know, as I put my hands down to the earth, and I remember, like, part of my intention was, as, you know, I turned 40, I felt a lot of the work I'd done up to now with plant medicines was about unlearning and just seeing all the conditioning I had and the belief systems and all of these patterns and, you know, where I had done wrong in my life and what things I could improve. And I felt like I'd really got into a clear slate by the time I had my last ceremonies at Rhythmia, just in April before my 40th birthday. And a lot of that was about, you know, this transition. And so here I was like, okay, I feel like a new baby and I need to start from the beginning. And the message was clear. I put my hands down and I speak into Pachamama and I said, thank you for me. And then I said, thank me for you. And in that moment, it just clicked how we are one and the same. You know, I am nature and nature is me. You know, I am nature and nature is me. And we've been led to believe that there's a separation and this crazy idea that we need to save the planet. The planet doesn't need us to save it. You know, we came here, it'll be here far beyond us, but we're part of it. All of nature, all of the birds and bees and flowers and animals and trees and all of it, it's all part of one living organism. And there's this crazy divide going on now that there's some kind of darkness in the world that has spawned greed and hate and competition and control and all of these things that I think is necessary to put pressure on evolution and change and growth. And I think it's all perfect. It's all perfect. And in that moment of realizing I am nature and nature is me, it was like this first simple truth that I had to realize as I start to move forward. And it was amazing. And we walked back, had a little bit of lunch, a late lunch at 5 p.m. and had to walk back up because we missed the last train all the way back up to our hotel, which is, you know, an uphill climb. Probably took us a little bit over an hour. But it was great. Great company, great day, still feeling the medicine. We went back to have that closing circle. And as I sat down, you know, it came to me that, you know, the dream I had yesterday was the Wachuma speaking to me through my grandfather. And my grandfather had this crazy life where, you know, he was born in Italy at a young age. You know, his mother was sick. And as he was playing outside, she was calling for him, I guess, to maybe help her, get her something. Or, you know, he doesn't really know. But she ended up dying that day. And his whole life, he carried that burden of it was his fault that his mother passed away because he didn't go help her. Imagine a young 5 or 6 year old going through that and feeling that. And, you know, he went through a war, the World War. Brother died, got killed in the war. Sister got shot. Gunpoint by the Nazis, which he witnessed firsthand. You know, had nothing after the war. They tried to move the family to Australia. Again, ran into all kinds of trouble, tried to open a business, went bankrupt. Again, picks up everybody, moves all the way to Canada, starts again, driving a dump truck, building a life for himself, working very hard for his family. And then, you know, all kinds of other challenges that arise, falling off a roof, breaking his hip, coming back up again. And then at the age of, I think, you know, 90, his house burns down and loses all of his possessions, all of his material possessions at the age of 90. And as we stood there in front of his house as it was burning down to the ground, you know, tears in his eyes, he's like, I want you to build this house for me. And when can we start? So there was never any quit in him. And he was such a generous man and kind and had so much trust and wisdom and perseverance. And I felt like the medicine was really showing me, you know, to embody those features and those gifts and how to sort of learn from my ancestors and what I needed to embody and to keep on moving and keep on working. And so, you know, that was a really special gift for me, that I felt that it was connecting with me before. And then as it came full circle to the end of that day, I sort of had this really beautiful lesson that was wrapped up in that whole day. And then yesterday, another Huachuma ceremony, but this time going into Machu Picchu, the crystal city of light on top of a mountain built by the Incas years ago. I don't believe in any of the stories about history that we've been told. Personally, I think most of history is a lie. I think, you know, the victors who win the wars write the history. And I also think a lot of history is not even true. It's just stories and conditioning and whatever. I think the technology there was incredible. I think it's impossible to have built that with just hands. Some of the blocks were incredibly huge and weighing up to 30 tons. The precision cuts on them to fit seamlessly into one another with no room in between. Like, I don't even think it's possible today. And to move them around up at that altitude and just so many things. And so we drank the Huachuma and we walked in, and it was a little bit lighter dose, which is perfect because a lot of tourists and action happening. But you're just there and you're in awe, complete awe. And you can check again some of the videos on my Instagram stories, just about that experience. And we just walked and we walked and we observed and we saw this beautiful city that was built there, and just to stay away from the invaders that they didn't know were coming yet. And there's a really awesome history you can look up online about, you know, the two brothers of this one leader and how they were divided. When all the Spanish came in. And, you know, the clear message that I got, which is very subtle, just being present, and I was super present, which is one of the things I've been working on, you know, staying off the phone, just being there. The mind was quiet, just looking at this crazy craftsmanship and engineering. And the insights that came was, you know, to continue building. And I thought of my grandfather again, how he was always building in his workshop and always making things and working in the garden. And it was also the yesterday is to work with nature, you know, to work in harmony with nature, to build things that are aligned with nature, and the work that I do to be aligned with the principles. Oh, the bells are ringing. I think it's breakfast time. Principles of nature, and to just look to nature for answers. And it's all there in the flowers, in the insects, how we can live more in harmony, and how the Incas lived in harmony, and they built these aqueducts through the mountains that would bring the water. Oh, and one vision I had yesterday, I don't even know if this makes sense. If there's any scientists here that want to try some experiments, I was wondering about how the water gets all the way to the top of the mountain, how this anti-gravitational pull of water through rock up to the top to flow down, because they built these incredible aqueducts in Machu Picchu. And I had this memory of some guy in the States that built a pyramid out of gold. And after it was completed, these springs came up and a river was formed around this pyramid. And you can go visit it. You can look it up online. And then I know that the pyramids in Giza used to have gold on top. And I think when they had the gold on top, there was water around the pyramids. And I think they were built to harvest water and energy. And there was this grid around all the vortexes and ley lines around the world that had these energy centers. And I won't get too deep into what I think here, but I think a lot of the churches and that had water around them that were designed energetically for some purpose that at some point was lost and deconstructed, maybe intentionally or not. And what it said was, inside some of the mountains, the shape of the mountains is important, because that kind of apex point is important for the energy. And also, depending on what's in the mountain, you know, the different crystals or metals that are in the rock, a specific combination of those things will create this vortex that pulls water up through the mountain. Now, I don't know if that makes any sense whatsoever, but that was kind of the insight that came to me. So I'm curious to explore that a little bit further to see if there's any truth to that. So anyways, lots of learnings, lots of teachings, lots of inspiration to continue working and to continue building a new world as we're coming to these end days, it feels like, of this old world and consciousness of greed and power. And I think it's all self-destructing. You know, greed consumes itself, and so does evil, self-destructs. self-consuming. So I think we just have to keep working through the times that we're in. As this week, there's a crazy meeting in Davos for all the unelected world business leaders or whatever they want to call themselves. And I also think there's a psychedelic ceremony there at Davos or summit or some experience there. So I pray for them and send them love. And I hope they have an awakening, and I hope they see that, you know, they have the power. They have some level of power to do good as much as they do to have bad. But I don't think they can ever take the power away from the people when the people are awake and have love in their hearts and want to live in harmony with one another in nature. So that's my prayer. That's my intention. I'll send some more updates this week as we keep moving through Peru. And I think this might be some ayahuasca ceremonies coming up next. So I love you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for reaching out. If you enjoy these or have any reflections or questions or had similar experiences that want to share, please reach out and share. Okay. Take care. Ayaya.